Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome to the Fifth Trooper Podcast. I'm Owen.
And I'm Isaac.
And we're here today to talk to you about, well, a lot of things, including Tours of Duty. I know, more Tours of Duty stuff, you know, everyone's talking about it, but I've actually played some games, I've got some thoughts, you know, there's some things that I'd like to share the opinions of after getting, I'm now five Tours of Duty games deep, so
nice.
I got a little practice in there. But before we dive into any of that, if you would like to support us in everything that we're doing, you can do that over at patreon.com/thefifthtrooper. We really appreciate it. It allows us to keep the lights on and doing all of this content and everything, so just shout out and thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers that are over there. So thanks, that would be super awesome. Also, before we get started, just a quick shout out to everyone as well that on the 8th of November, which will be in a couple weeks here, on the 8th of November, I am going to be doing a charity stream, which I will also have linked below. It's for Extra Life. If people who know what Extra Life is, it's a very cool thing with that, you know, gamers play games on Twitch, raise money for kids in hospitals. You can't go wrong.
It's awesome.
So, by all means, please stop by over at extralife.com/OwenPatterline, and I will have the Twitch there as well and everything so you can watch in. I will be playing for 24 hours straight, and for all of our Star Wars fans, some of those hours will be spent playing Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, the pod racing game. It's been a while, and I think it's time.
24 hours straight of playing.
I know. No, I'm not doing 24 hours of it. But you know, it's always nice to have a couple people watching and to, you know, chat in there. So by all means, please, you know, if you don't have any money, stop by and say hey. And it's always a good thing to get some support in there. And if not, or if you do have some cash, hey, you know, send $5. The kids love it. Like, it really does. All the stuff that I'm raising money for is for Children's National Hospital here in Washington, D.C. So it goes to help treat the kids and give them a better experience while they're at the hospital and developing new treatments for them and everything like that. So it's super awesome, and I do it every year. So please consider joining this year and doing that. But anyway, you're not here for any of my plugs. You're here to talk about Tours. Isaac's here to talk about Tours. So let's talk about Tours of Duty. Isaac.
Yes.
You haven't been able to sound off on this. So you have been away. You were at Crucible. Let the audience know. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings so far on Tours?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I haven't been able to play any games. I just got back to Rochester, like, literally 2 days ago. So I'm excited to get starting on it. I've read the rules, skimmed it at least, and what I love about it is how modular it seems to be, if that's a good word for it. Like, you can,
I think,
really,
that's a great explanation. Yeah. Yeah, it's modular.
Yeah, and you can make it whatever you want it to be, and especially after the interview with Will, that was great, like getting to hear more about like how it really is meant to be, like whatever the people want to make it, you know, this is what it's here for. So yeah, I'm just really excited to start, you know. I want to get some leagues with it running. I'd love to, you know, my dream is to have like a galactic conquest sort of thing play out, do some campaigns, and you know, get to make some of these cool war stories with all these little fun accommodations and setbacks. I'm really excited about it.
I think that pretty much everybody across the board is trying to make this into some sort of galactic conquest thing, and I absolutely love that the community is doing that. Like, if you haven't seen it, please go on to the Legion Discord. There's at least 10 different ideas of, like, how to make this into some sort of Galactic Conquest League, and I think that's very cool.
So fun.
Every win helps a point to take over a planet, or people are playing in teams. It's just so much fun, and it can be broken out in so many different ways, which is very neat. I know that, at least at my store, we are currently playing just to kind of test all of the rules out, test things out, see how it plays before we start putting in some of our home rules. And I definitely think that the home rules and some house rules do need to be thrown in. very specifically with forfeiting games. I know that was a large thing before the rules addendum that came out a couple weeks back, but even with that rule addendum, I still don't like how that rule works. I think that you should be able to forfeit and you don't get super penalized for it because you are playing the game, but you're just in a state where you're like, I'm going to lose. And I would like to stop playing now because I'm going to lose very badly. And unfortunately, you don't have that option. For those that don't know, the rule currently that they added in the addendum is that if you forfeit, the game ends and you don't lose anything. It is as if you didn't play the game at all. The other person can still do their stuff. They will still be counted as winning or whatever, but you don't. And I think that's very bad because you can just cheat the system then. If any time that I lose my T-47, which is in my register, and I just go, oh no, I've spent so much supply points on it and so many commendations are on it. And if someone kills it, I can just go, I forfeit. And now it doesn't die, ever. I don't put a setback on it. I don't, like, because it's as if you didn't play that game at all.
Go reload the games.
Exactly. It's save scumming. In real life.
Unhook the Xbox.
Yeah, and I was like, that's not good. Like,
yeah, I get the idea of, like, retreating and forfeiting, but, like, not, as if no casualties happened at all. That's seems kind of wonky.
Yeah,
you can homebrew it though in your own communities. I think
there definitely needs to be something homebrewed there. There needs to be something that is slightly shifted because so far I think most of the rules are pretty solid that you can play any which way that you want in it, and I think that it's pretty solid in how it's built. But I think that part is just that part's rough to me. That part seems really bad. Of like. If I'm getting my butt beat, I don't want to sit there for another hour getting my butt beat. Like, I know I'm losing. Right. And the only thing that I can really do at that point is hide in the corner and pray my opponent doesn't kill the rest of my guys. Which doesn't feel good.
Right. Yeah, and, like, that's one of my favorite things about Tours of Duty is it introduces a new element to the game of, like, preserving manpower. Like, all of our standard games of Legion, we're like, all right, I will take this POI if my whole army dies doing it. And now you have this question of like longevity for your army. You got to actually preserve your manpower and your troops and your vehicles. And like, I love that. That seems actually more realistic to me, and it gives another flavor of realism to the game. And so like being able to retreat to preserve your forces seems like a good thing. Being able to reload your save, however, does not.
Right, and like it also seems weird because it feels so bad when you're also on the other end of it. Of okay, I've pushed someone off of the point. They've retreated their commendationed unit all the way back, and they've got one person there. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, I have to kill this person in order to score a secondary objective, in order to be able to secure that side of the board, in order to be able to move more freely. The game that I last played, I had a sleeper cell that had two people left on it. I had two health. I had the astromech and the commander of the sleeper cell, and it was on a point. And my opponent had someone on the other side there that was just their leader of that squad. And I was like, well, I have to shoot this person off of the field before they get a chance to shoot me back, because they have a chance of knocking me off the point and changing the tide of the game, which of course they will want to do. And so it's like, well, now I feel bad because now I'm going to make sure that there is either a setback on that unit permanently from here on out, or that you have to put supply points to get rid of that setback, or that maybe you just lose that unit off of your register altogether, which is what happened. And then I was like, well, sorry, like I gotta play the game. Like it's just like a weird feeling sometimes to
especially if it's like a pickup game, like, you know, you're meeting like in a local night, like that's what I being able to do like a long campaign, like a team-based campaign where like that is part of like everybody's secondary objective is sort of to like do attrition to the other team. Like it feels, the scenario feels a little bit better in that case. But like when you're doing these tours of duty games, like as a pickup game, it does feel a little bit rough to be like, hey, this is a practice game and I'm like permanently setting you back for multiple games that have nothing to do with me. If that like,
or it just makes you feel vengeful and great. I did a match against Mike where I purposely went out of my way to kill his commander to put a setback on him, because I was like, I'm gonna lose this game, but I'm killing your goddamn Jedi. Like, I went for them, because I was like, I know that you've put supply points in this Jedi, I know that that Jedi has commendations, I know that it's a good thing. I was already going to have to fight it, because I was scared of that unit in general, and then I was like, well, now I want to kill it and make sure that it's not a, you know, it's weaker the next time I see you. So
like,
I
love
like,
that. You can like, if in like a campaign setting, you could essentially have like one general's duty is to be like a screening force or like a rear guard. Like, hey, you're going to hold this point and just cause attrition and chaos. And you're just going to build your force out to do that. You're not going to take objectives, but you're going to kill a lot of stuff and make them pay for like taking this objective. Like that's the stuff that like gets the wheels in my head turning. Like, okay, this is like now you have a grand strategy element to this as well. You can start implementing some stuff.
The narrative aspect of it has been fantastic. Absolutely love hearing the story of everyone's armies as we're playing on the table. I'm hearing these things where they're saying how, oh, this unit died, and so then this next unit was like their relatives or something like that, or they're all from the same planet and they're all different parts of the resistance or whatever from like the same area and everything, and so they're all friends and they all know each other. Like I lost my T-47 in the first game that I played, and I was
was it a casualty?
As a casualty, they were off the register, and so I was like, well, I'm going to say that that was this person who was a cocky pilot. I lost my supply points that I put into it. But then the pilot of that T-47 now is their brother. And so that was my narrative story there, that is their brother. And their brother has now lived enough that they've gone through enough matches that they have a commendation and they're still there and they're still kicking butt. And I'm just like, yeah, all right. So, like, they're doing justice and honor to that. Yeah, and so it's just like, oh, well, this is like a very fun thing. Or hearing the puns that people have done with the various names. There's a guy at my store who had a team of that had flamethrowers. They had stormtroopers that had flamethrowers, or snowtroopers that had flamethrowers.
Snowtroopers, yes.
Yeah, snowtroopers. Thank you. They had something that had flamethrowers on it, and the name of the unit is Hoth Girl Summer. And I was like, well done.
Well
played. This is great.
Good form.
Yeah. It's been an absolutely fantastic time, and I am very excited to see the community continue playing these and trying them out. I have yet to do a turning point mission, but we are getting close. So we'll hopefully
say 5 games, you should be about at it, right?
I've been very slow at my agendas. I've been only going ticking up one at a time. Whereas okay. It's been really hard for me to actually get my agendas completed, whereas other people at my store have been kind of flying through some of theirs. I know that there's an agenda that, like, you get points, I think, for the secondary, and then you can advance it a second time that game if you lose the game. So you have to, like, purposely lose to try to advance your agenda further. Which Mike did and was very fascinating to watch. He was like, just, you know, no, you can have the point. I'm going to just sit back here. And you're like, okay.
Like, what? Now you can go brag. You can say that you just beat Mike at a game. That is, yeah. Don't specify.
I have Tours of Duty. Yeah, he was trying very hard to throw the match that he beat me in. And I was like, sorry. I couldn't capitalize on it.
You could have capitalized. And stomps Mike. But no, title of the episode.
The day that I beat Mike in an actual game is the day that I stop podcasting, because I've done it all. I will come on here and I will just gloat about it for an hour straight, and then I will shut up forever. I will just be done.
I did get a chance to actually play a game against Mike for the first time at Crucible. We got a practice game in before, so I do know a little bit of your local scene, because we almost had a mirror match, and I got mopped. So it was a good game, though. I learned a lot. It's a fun time.
Yeah, but, he's a great teacher. For those that don't know, for those that haven't gone over to Notorious Scoundrels and listened to them talk, we highly recommend it. They're very good over there. And Mike over there is a very knowledgeable person of this game and knows a lot about it. And so it is a great place to absorb information.
For sure.
And also lists. If you need to go through list ideas, he has many, and we'll be able to find the flaws in your list and just be like,
very
that.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned more in that like one practice game than like the 3 months of practice games that I played leading up to Crucible.
Right.
It was really cool. Yeah. Like I had so many new ideas on how to like run my list, and I was like, oh, and I was like, I didn't think you could do it that way. This is what a neat idea.
Now we just launched a video talking about, you know, tournament and tournament prep and all of that. Did you use any of that while you're at Crucible? Do you have new things to add on to that that guide as someone coming out of Crucible now?
Yes. I didn't drink water the entire time. No, I'm kidding.
I did drink water. We said to hydrate.
It was in there. I didn't bring water. One thing, so this was the first time I ever got to stay at one of the hotel blocks, like the actual convention center hotel. And it worked out. I had like hotel points and stuff, so I was able to stay for relatively like minimal. So like I get like the financial investment can be a lot if you're paying for that out of pocket. So do what you have to do, like what suits your budget. Don't break the bank to play these games. It's not worth it. But I did get to stay in the hotel, and that was a game changer compared to like when you're at a convention and you're having to like drive 15, 20 minutes to get to it if you're in an external hotel. And I kept telling myself, I was like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But man, it was so nice to just sleep.
Because that was the hotel attached to where Crucible was, right? So you just went,
yeah, yeah. It was literally it was the same hotel. So you just like hop in the elevator, go down, play your games versus having to get up at like, I mean, most of the time you're starting at like 9. You want to get there around like 8:30 at the latest to get registered and stuff. So you're waking up fairly early to get through. I mean, you need to be kind of heading that way at least by 7:30. And if you get up and eat breakfast or do anything like that, then you're starting to get up towards around 6. So that was really sweet. I definitely didn't realize how much of a game changer that would be. I still didn't improve my winning record at all, but it felt nice.
Well, for the people back home, what was your record?
I went 4-2. So
4-2.
Yeah, I played a lot of great games. I can't remember everybody's names and lists, but it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. The two that I lost to, I lost to a rebel list and a CIS list. It was a lot of fun. Some like really wide rebel activation list, kind of a like sort of like a Brian Bear type rebel list where it's like wide double land speeder shenanigans. And that was really cool. I love like seeing these rebel lists that are when you think rebels, it's like Hero Hammer all the way, and then it's like always interesting to see like, oh, I didn't bring any heroes outside of like, I think he had like Din and like Leia, but it wasn't like the Lukes and all the big heroes. It was like cheap budget heroes, and then just all of the like the troopers, the ATRTs. It was like, wow, this is a lot of these are a lot of t-shirts running at me. This is a lot. So that was cool. And CIS.
And what were for the people back home that don't know, since I actually do know the mirror list that you had, but what was the list that you brought to Crucible?
Yeah, the list that I ran was Triple Commando. It was Yoda, Triple Commandos. I had Triple ARC Troopers and then Triple Core, I believe. There was, oh, Ahsoka. Ahsoka was in it. There was Ahsoka Super Squad was one of the core, and then two Naked Core. Yeah. But, yep, just three of all my favorite things and Yoda, and that was a lot of fun. I really, really wish that I had Padme. I wish that I'd cut that Ahsoka Super Squad down to, just to save a few points and cram another activation there, either Padme or another core, just because it would have really mattered having an extra activation in there. But
It surprises me just how valuable that extra activation is half the time.
It's huge.
And at least for as a rebel player where I have very cheap cores, you know, I can rebel players can add a core in for 40 points for the most part. I think it's like, and that's fairly cheap. It's like there are various upgrades to cores that are costing 20 some points, and a lot of the times you're looking at it and thinking, should I add two of those heavies into the cores that I already have, or should I just add another core in? And I almost think it's always the correct answer to just add another core in, so you can make sure that your stuff that needs to go last is going last.
Yeah, it's so powerful. That and scoring at the end of the day, like, it depends on how many things you're putting on things. So, like, dude, I was a Z6 man, like, through and through. I loved the Z6. I didn't care what you told me on the math. I was like, I'm taking this as my heavy, because I love just rolling the slot machine. And it was, like, just slowly pried away from me, because it's like, oh, it's like I have to give up my Z6s. Two Z6s is like another squad, so it's just like,
but playing the tours that I have played against the slot machine, and it's there great. Are sometimes it whiffs real bad, and it sucks to be on the barrel end of a Z6, and then there are other times that it's just like a whiff.
Just goes off.
Yeah, there's nothing there, and I'm just like, oh, well,
sometimes
I guess you attacked, sure.
I love it, because, like, it always makes me feel like there's a chance that my unit can still do something when it's reduced to, like, nothing. Like, you're still rolling. Like, a unit leader in a Z6 is still 7 dice. So you're like, so you're saying there's a chance?
There's definitely a part of me that won't let a Z6 live. Because you're right. There is a chance, and I don't want you to roll that many dice. Crits. It's like, no. I need to get rid of the Z6. After that, I don't care about the squad. You can just have the commander there, but
just the sergeant running around.
But when you've got that many dice, it is a thing that I was like, I don't want you to be able to blast like half of a core unit or more, just like straight off of a point with just because you have a Z6 still there. It's like, no. I need this.
Back in the day, when you could which I guess old school Legion, when old school fire support, where you could like add the weapons to another attack, that was what was really sweet. When you just had a Z6 laying around that you could always, like, oh, 6 white, I'm gonna toss it on top of my saber tank shot. Take that.
No. Or like, that sounds awful. I do not want this.
Yeah, it was a lot. You could didn't feel so great sometimes. But it paid when you set it up. But that's in the past.
And so you said that you went 4-2 down in Crucible, and you only lost to a Rebel list, and what was the other one? Sorry.
There was a CIS list with Cad Bane, and I need to... I forgot everybody's names, so, like, that's... I do apologize if you're watching this. I remember our games very fondly.
Thanks for watching.
But I'm, as I said at the table, I'm terrible with names, so I'm apologizing again. But, I lost to a CIS list. It was Grievous and... Grievous double Aqua, and Cad Bane was in there. There was also like a smorgasbord of like CIS units, Geos, Sunfac, B1s, you know, Kalani, like that kind of build. It's like Aqua Dooku, a bunch of other stuff, or sorry, Aqua Grievous, and then a bunch of other stuff. And Cad Bane was an interesting choice, but he's definitely overcosted. It's the first time I've seen Cad Bane in like years. So, like, it was cool.
I don't think I've ever seen Cad actually tabled before, so
I know, like, and he's such a cool model. I love the character. He's like space cowboy. Like, I wish he was around more.
He's one of my favorite characters from I don't want to call it the extended universe, but it is, like, you know, it's the not movies, right? Like, he's great inside of everything that he does outside of the not movies.
Yeah, he's like a 100 plus points, though, especially when you start getting him out. He feels like he should cost 70 or something. He is good at, like, the little tokens where he can, like, pop up. He can, like, jump on a point. We played Shifting Priorities, so it was nice. He was, like, able to pop on a point and kind of take that. So he has some play. He's just a little bit overcosted. Like, I'd love to see him come down a little bit and so he could be on the table. Like, he's not in a vacuum where points don't exist. He's not a bad unit. Like, he's not awful. He has some utility in play. He's just too expensive right now. So.
And I think there's a argument to be had, and the AMG knows this, and I've talked about it for those that don't know, that there is a thing where they look at those point costs and they understand that there's a break point. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that unit is just a little bit too expensive to currently have on your field, and so people don't have them on the field, or there are units that are just too cheap and they need to crank it up a little bit more to make them a little bit more costly, so that way that's not like the obvious go-to, and to balance it in that nature. And so there is a little bit of that going back and forth there. Mm-hmm. And that is a thing that I love my T-47, but it is very obviously overcosted, in my opinion, for what it gives you. But it also doesn't die, which is kind of great. It's very hard to kill, at least as long as your opponent doesn't have impact, and then you're just like, I exist forever!
I remember, I had a friend that I used to play with, a lot in Kentucky, and he would never bring anti-armor. He would just CIS player, just B1s, no anti-armor. And the one time that I did a double airspeeder thing, he shot both my airspeeders down in two turns with just B1 shots. It's you don't need impact. You just roll just roll three crits every B1 shot.
If that's the way that you roll, great. I'm never that lucky. I need that impact. I make sure that I have anti-armor, or at least something with ion, so that way I can, you know, stun a tank or a CIS unit, even though I never play against CIS players. It's this is very useful and should be had.
Yeah, anymore you gotta take some sort of anti-armor, I feel like, to, with the amount of aqua droids and stuff running around.
Tell me what it's like to play against CIS players. I just don't know.
CIS players? Oh yeah, you guys don't have a lot.
No, all we have is Republic people and then me.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it is the Aqua. Thankfully, I had a lot of my opponents did their Aqua strike just flubbed. I had that happen three times where I was I was prepared for it. I had mentally prepped myself to be okay, I'm going to do this. Two Aqua droids are going to come in and just delete that unit, and that is a sacrifice I'm willing to make. And it just didn't happen. They'd lose, either no wounds or maybe lose one or two. I had medics in my ARC troopers, so I was able to kind of curb some of that. But it's really powerful being able to just be all right, here's my wall, and then I'm going to put whatever lightsaber wielder behind it, and you're just going to take it. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just really powerful. I will say one fun moment. I did manage to panic a Grievous, that the game that I lost. So I invested way too many.
Grievous?
I did. I put he only has two courage too, but I put something 10 suppression on him, and it definitely, I think it lost me the game. So if you're listening, I did find the long shank. So Ben was the Ben Fowler was running CIS with Cad Bane. So props to Ben. He got a win off of me. I maneuvered my whole army to take a really tight pot shot just to suppress Grievous, and then ended up losing for it because I was so terrified. He had it on the turn that he turns into the blender, and he shreds your whole army. So that was a fun time. But I played against it was Ben Fowler and then Rob Mowgli Roland was the players that I lost against. So Rob was the Rebel list and Ben was the CIS list. And as well as many other opponents, but I won't talk the whole cast about six games of debrief.
Yeah, I mean that. Thank you for saving us from that. But yes,
let me turn by turn, dice roll by dice roll.
It's exciting that you were able to go down. It was exciting that you were able to actually meet Mike and the rest of some of the 5th Trooper crew that was down there while we were holding up the fort talking about Tours of Duty back home, me and Evan. And just, being able to put that together while you were away. Yeah, and for those that haven't seen that video, it will be in the same playlist as this, so please go back a couple episodes. You'll also see the interview that we did with AMG about Tours of Duty, so know that there's more coming. And just the idea of more, and we still have barely scratched the surface of what we currently have, is phenomenal. I personally am looking at this and thinking about how much that you can really just kind of look at the tours and customize your agendas and things to things that actually work for you and not just the one that was designed for your faction. Like, that's where I'm starting with, but I'm, you know, you can use whatever and it works pretty well. You just have to change your narrative as you see fit. And I think that's going to be a very fun time. I think that's going to... I'm glad that everyone's doing this, and everyone seems to be having so much fun with it. Like, Recon has never looked so good.
Right. Yeah, that's really what Tours of Duty's purpose was to get us playing those Recon missions.
It's the thing that worries me is the fact that everyone is like, oh, we have to make a league about this. This is obviously where we're going to start doing a league and get players to join in and expand what we're doing. But... it is such a hard thing to understand as a new player. Like, yeah, this isn't where new players should start, but it is where everyone will be starting. Because it's what everyone at the stores are doing.
Yeah, it's like playing the campaign mode of the game before you start diving into the multiplayer aspect or something.
Which I do all the time anyway.
Yeah, that's the same thing. You gotta figure it out. You gotta learn the mechanics. I mean, it's just like a lot of extra... like, the turn zero stuff is just, like, a ton more prep and, like, thought goes into it versus just bringing a standard list playing the game.
Yeah, the Recon games, I think, are fantastic starting points for new players. You don't have to worry about the cards as much, because you can just... you only need one person to have whatever the setup cards are, and you just shuffle them and throw them out, and that's what that's what the thing is, which is, like, great. So you don't have to see if you have it or they have it or whatever and do all the bans and need to figure out what things you need to ban and flip and all of that. Like, I definitely think this is a way easier in that sense. It's like, oh, no, this is easier because the setup is way faster and you don't have to worry about as many units. So you only have to worry about your 600 points, especially at the start of anything like that. But trying to explain register is not list to current players is hard. To new players is impossible.
Yeah, I was about to say, that threw me for a while. Like, I had to really reread that. I was like, what? And I was like, what do you mean? And then, it took y'all's video helped. Because you covered it, you and Evan. And I was like, okay. I was watching that on my drive back.
Yeah, like, once it clicks, and you're like, oh, this makes so much sense, because it's basically available just tools. It's what is available to you. If you don't have a lot of stuff that you've bought, that is already what is available to you, right? And so, like, it makes a lot of sense in that mindset, and then you don't have to always bring everything that's on your register. You only bring up to the amount of points that you and your opponent decide upon. So, like, the first thing I did is I went to 750 points and made sure that I had all of the heavies and all of the extra, like... I had the two upgrades that you get for free on all of your cores, and I made sure that I had that, but I didn't bring all of those to all of my games. I just wanted that to be on the register, because otherwise you have to spend supply points or commendations to get that, and that just seems silly. It's like, just if you start with it, start with it.
Put it on
It sounds like free points are just like sense. Put some heavies there.
Well, when a unit is killed, does your it's taken as a casualty, does the commendation point come down? Like, do you lose that off your list?
So when a
commendation
unit,
with the register points, the
when a unit dies, when a unit is no longer on the field, let's say that. If the unit is eliminated off of the field, you roll a black dice and you roll the black dice to see if it gains a setback or if it dies completely. And then if it's completely dead, that unit is then no longer part of your register. It would come off of your register, and then you have that many points back in your register to add something else. Most people just put a new version of that unit in there, right? So my T-47 died game one. I brought back the T-47 in game two. I changed, I just... erased the name. I changed the name of the unit. Since it was game one, it didn't have an experience. The only thing that I actually lost was I did have some upgrades that I spent supply points on, so I had to erase those off of it as well. But I still, yeah, like I still kept the T-47 on my list because I was allowed to. And that, and then most people are like, yeah, I want to keep the unit there.
That makes sense.
But you can easily, if you wanted to, if you're like, this didn't work, you know, the T-47 wasn't a good call, I'm going to remove that off of the list and instead put in a FD cannon and a bunch of Tauntauns. You could do that too.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's completely allowed.
Charge of the Hoth.
And that way you don't have to do that. And there's a supply point upgrade that you can get that retires a unit. So if you have a unit that you want to get rid of, you can retire the unit and then free up those supply. You basically dismiss them. And I haven't found a reason why I would do that yet.
Yeah,
I also
you just get them killed. Like, just.
You could.
Just send
also,
them on
that. Like, the setbacks very much are, if you let them stack up different setbacks on a unit, like, your unit's gonna start getting less effective. Even one setback, depending on the setback, is rough. There's like, a setback that if you're on an objective and another unit is contesting the objective, you take a point of damage.
That sucks.
Which is like,
you just
get
force choked for being on the objective.
I don't want that. Even on, you know, like, I'm putting cores and whoever, you know, sleepers or whoever on these points to try to contest them. I'm not gonna just give a player like a free damage on my thing. So I've been spending a lot of my supply points on getting rid of setbacks and healing, you know, healing the setbacks off of my units. So I haven't really been playing with a lot of setbacks because of that. Because I was like, gotcha. These are bad, and I have the supply points. I've been rolling insanely lucky at the end of all of these games. So I've been ending every single game that I've done so far with 3 supply points, which is great, because I normally have anywhere between 2 to 3 setbacks, and then I'm just like, nope. And I start the next game. It also just seems odd to me if you're spending supply points on heroes. It does so much to be able to bring them along and be able to do that, but they don't get experience.
Yeah.
So it seems like a wasted slot and wasted points when you're not getting experience recommendations on them because they're just showing up for that one time or however many times you have supply points. Like, if you really need a win, it will help you do that because you'll
like
make sure that you have command cards and things that'll, like, work. But otherwise, I was like, why? I'd rather get other things that could use that spot and get experience in various other things.
It's like taking the, the Battlefront upgrades, the advanced garrison or something that gave you extra dudes. You just always took that one for, like, the old school. you never took any other upgrade. No leader upgrades.
You would take that. You would take the Bacta.
Bacta was good, yeah.
Depending on the map, you would take the sabotage
for the spaceships.
Sabotage the ships, especially
that's
if you're doing the spaceship
terrible.
Maps.
Yeah.
That was brutal because
you'd
have to
are just like
you'd have to sit there and repair it since it would only have like 10 health at the start of the game.
They're really sabotaged.
Yeah, those could be very useful. But I wish that there was more things that were more like Battlefield, like the entire Battlefield focus, like that. That would be a fun thing to add into the tours in some sort of way. Yeah, like I would love that because the commendations in themselves is very cool. I love the one in a million. I love adding. It's like, oh hey, this person now is precise, so I get to roll one extra dice when I'm doing my aims and everything. And it's like, this is nice. This is like such a cool little way of seeing them build into a more lethal unit against my opponents. But I, like I said, I haven't really seen a lot of setbacks being played. A lot of people, at least at my store, were using a lot of our supply points to heal up or use medvacs, various things like that, to just be like, dodge the negatives, get the goods.
I want to take B1s and make them an elite unit. I want like a lethal B1 brigade that is just like full of the toughest, meanest, roughest B1s out there.
Mike had a Wookiees that he put the prepared positions thing on where they get to roll the red dice on if they're in their own zone and defensive.
Oh,
and I was like, this is impossible to kill now. Like, 12, because he had the extra trooper on there as well, right. And so it's a 4 Wookiee at 3 health apiece per Wookiee, 12 health on red saves, and I was like,
Could you give him prepared positions?
Yeah.
And then they can take that upgrade. So it's you can do that like anything. You can just give them... That's wild.
I had to coax the Wookiees out of their starting area so they wouldn't be red saves anymore because they were just so hard to kill. I was like, no, try to come contest me on this point. Please come over here so you stop having red saves. Because if he just let them sit back there, I was like, there's no way that I'm going to do anything to this thing.
Choosers, surging red saves. Yikes.
Yeah. That was brutal. That was very hard to try to fight off. And there's a lot of combinations like that where it's just that extra little thing of just like, oh yeah, let's give it arsenal. Let's give it this. And all of a sudden you're now like, oh no, this is way scarier than it used to be.
I am excited to start tweaking with things like that and start messing around with it. See what absolutely bonkers things that I can put together.
Yeah,
will be one squad.
Are there a lot of people playing Taurus at your store? Like, is there a lot of chatter about that over at your end, or is it that just like you haven't noticed since you're not there?
Well, from what I've heard, no. They tend to stick to more like the standard stuff right now. I am going to try to get something going. If I get enough interest in it, I'd like to do a league just to get people playing it. Like, if you put an event on in general, people will actually come out, learn the thing, do the thing, get the games in. But
mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, most people, as far as like pickup games go, they're just going to be like the standard version just because that's kind of just the norm, more or less. But I think I could get some games started up if we got like a league or something on it. Everybody loves free stuff. Everybody loves playing in something that's structured. So
I definitely think that's a good idea. I definitely think that a lot of people are doing leagues, or at least thinking about how to build this into a league and having a good time with it, which I highly recommend. I think this is going to be very fertile ground for something like that.
Yeah.
I also know that, at least for my local group, we've also been talking about some of the house rules that we're going to play with in the league, and one of those things is like to give it that Battlefront feel. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, if you win your game, you get a chance to take over this planet. And then, you know, if a player takes over the most planets or whatever at the end of the tournament, you know, or the league, we'll give them a bonus prize of some sort or something.
Oh, that's fun.
But it is a thing that it's like, we realized we needed that there because there's no incentive for winning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something to, like... It doesn't have to be anything crazy. Like, something just to give incentive for playing and win the games.
Yeah, like, there needs to be something there, because currently the only difference between winning and losing is going to be the amount of troops that you have on a POI at mm-hmm. the end of the game to get experience. So if you're winning, you're probably going to have more units there, so you'll get more experience going across all of your units,
mm-hmm.
which is good. And the other thing that you get as a bonus is that you get the surge on your red die for how many supply points that you get. But as I mentioned, I've been rolling really well in all of my losses, so I've always just been getting 3 supply points, while my opponents, who have won the game, have been rolling poorly and not getting the surge, so they only get 2 supply points. And I was like...
Sorry, bro. Roll better dice.
Yeah, like, it just feels weird when someone is winning the match but getting less supply points than me, and I'm just like, sorry, that's the way that this works.
Well, one thing that I've been, like, running into it, like, as a wall, is how do I narratively make Empire and Gar exist in the same universe? Like, every time I do a Battlefront thing, I'm like, great, Rebels, they can be, like, partisan forces, like, for like... Republic or CIS, but then like the Empire, I'm like, that's a harder one.
I've seen a lot of people kind of pose the suggestion of like it's old clone units that are part of the Empire, and so it's something of that nature. It's like it's during that turnover where they were the getting recruits period. To coming in to take over where the clones were, and so
you could do that. Yeah.
Even though the new addendum rule is like you should have everything from the same faction,
you could end up mixing it. That could be really fun. Yeah, if you do that narrative campaign, that would be really cool to like see a mix of that. The only thing I've been thinking of, like, oh, Anakin got his workplace promotion to Jedi Council and doesn't go to the dark side. So now, but Palpatine still wanted the Empire to arise. So like he's there now. You have four factions, but that seems there's plenty of plot holes there, and they could be sunk into that. But I like that the turnover period.
That was explored in Bad Batch, right? The turnover period happens and the old clones don't like the fact that they're being replaced, and so then they maybe want to fight the Empire. Because they're like, wait a second, you're replacing me and I was super good at my job.
Sorry, you can't even shoot straight, you can't see out of your helmets. It's canon accurate.
Only an Imperial troopers can be so precise.
Love that. Yeah, I went blank. No, it would be really fun to get both all of that like working together and then like mixing the forces and like fleshing it out, or then having rebel clone troopers. That was what I've like wanted that to be a thing forever. When is like I would love to see just like a rebel clone trooper unit representing those like clone resistance pockets. Mm-hmm. That'd be like such a cool battle force idea to have
we are going to house rule at our local scene that it's just like just throw some stuff together as long as it's nothing broken. I'm completely cool with seeing that kind of thing. I think it would be very neat. I just don't want to see weird combos. Like, that's like, where I draw
if you're
the
doing
line.
It to be like a jerk.
Yeah. If you're doing it narratively because it's just a fun thing, sure. But if you're doing a thing that where you're like, well, if I take Krennic and Krennic can do this weird thing with CIS or something where like all of the tokens go everywhere and then I've got like an infinite amount of dodge tokens somehow or something weird like that, I would be like, no. Stop.
I'm doing
this.
It so I can have Exemplar in my clone faction again. So I don't pay no mind to my rebel officers that are just following the clone army. No,
like, but, I think that's a slippery slope there. But narrative wise, I'm just like, go for it. What do I care if I'm getting shot in the face by a clone corps or an Empire corps? Like, I don't. You know,
the unit getting shot will.
Shooting back, and it's just like, oh, you've got red saves? You suck.
Surging red saves sometimes, though, with the old clone trooper.
Yeah. But narrative-wise, I think there's a lot of space there that people are going to want to play in, and I hope that they play in it. I hope that we see more things from the community. I hope that the community does more stuff. It's going to be a great area there, and... Join your community. Make the stuff. Do the thing. Play the games.
Comment below your favorite homebrew rule set. How are you gonna make Galactic Conquest work?
What are you doing?
I selfishly want to know because I want to do it myself, and I don't have the bandwidth to create the rule set for it. So
we want to steal from you. I mean, borrow from you.
Borrow from the collective community. Make our dreams come true.
Yeah, I mean it's a fantastic thing for those that. Unfortunately, you've been busy, so you haven't tried it out yet. But
yep.
You're gonna love it, man. It's so good.
I'm excited.
It's absolutely phenomenal. You're gonna have a fun time with it, and I'm glad that you did well at Crucible. You brought honor back to this podcast after I went 2-4 down at Nova.
Oh, it's all for the love of the game, you know. But exactly. It was also fun. Like Orlando is, there's tons of stuff to do there. Like I'm trying to make that one honestly a. I'd like to, if finances and everything allow, I'd love to make that kind of a tradition, just because it's a great vacation. You can spend that one to a family vacation really easily.
Very easily. You've got all the parks. Yeah. There's also some very fun bioluminescent tours nearby.
Oh, really?
I highly recommend doing a bioluminescent kayak tour in the middle of the night. It's the sketchiest things ever, but they are so cool when you get to do them. Like, just imagine that it's like it's 11 o'clock at night and you're driving down a back road in Florida to some unmarked location. Like, you're like, especially to like a swamp area, you're like, this is how I die. This I'm gonna get like robbed, killed, and thrown into the swamp. But by the end of it, you get to then like take a cool kayak out and see cool bioluminescent stuff, and you're like, wow, the water's glowing, this is super cool.
I gotta
it's like
that.
It's like my nature thing of like people should do that when they're in Orlando because it's nearby and it's very
I had
fun.
No idea. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, if it's the right season for it, it's great. Sometimes it's not the right season, which is like, you know, it's out of season, so you don't get a chance to do it. But if it is the season, it is very cool because then you're just like seeing cool like galaxy spirals in the water while you're paddling around, and it's just very pretty.
Sick. Okay.
And it's a good time. So that way you can see the stars of the wars, the Star Wars, star
the war,
you know,
of the stars. Star Wars.
Man, if Disney wanted to make some real money, if they managed to look, Disney, hi, I know you want to make some cash. I know that you turned the wonderful Star Wars hotel into an Imagineering space. And I'm just saying is if you made that instead a convention space and we got to play Star Wars Legion or X-Wing or whatever, awesome. Any of the Star Wars games, you know, any of the stuff that is your IP that you own and you hosted it inside of a Star Wars cool, like, themed place, I would spend so much money.
You just take my credit card.
just take it. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah, that would be so cool. All the parks and everything. Oh, that was that was something I was talking with Mike and JJ. We were talking about the possibility of doing like a cruise ship convention. So like you put it in the. You know, right? That would be kind of cool. It's a cruise, but it just has a convention happens to be there. It doesn't have to be the entire point of it, but it's just a cruise that has a convention on it, you know?
Yeah, we get to play. Now, if you're playing Legion on a cruise ship.
That's true. I don't know how, like...
Right?
It's pretty stable, though. I've never been on a cruise, so I don't know what it's like, but... Like
I've also never been on a cruise, but I can't imagine that it's that tipsy turvy.
Yeah,
so like
everybody be like puking everywhere. I mean, it has to be somewhat stable.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not like
I've got questions. Yeah. That would be otherwise funny. You're gonna have a weird time when you roll dice and you're like it's all misses, but then like it shifts and then it's all hits.
You have to like roll. The ocean has spoken.
Yep. The ocean said I get all hits. That's how that works.
The ocean flipped the die. No, but there's like you could really make that that's a very easy, like you could bring your family, bring friends,
easily.
And stuff. There's stuff to do. It's a cruise ship. So yeah, like while you're playing games, everybody else is doing what they want, you can go have fun on the cruise too.
It wouldn't be unheard of. Cruise ships are things that I see all the time where it's like, oh, hey, we're going to have a concert cruise. And so come on to the cruise and listen to emo music. And we've got bands that are going to do live sets and stuff as well. And you're like, yeah, of course I would go do that. Like, why? It's just a convention out on the water. Like, that's all it is. It's the same thing. Down. You're just doing it in the water rather than on land. So... why not? Yeah.
That's so much cooler. Everything's cooler on a boat, man. Don't you know?
Everything is cooler on a boat.
It's on a boat.
So that is tours and Crucible and all of the things here. As we wrap up, just wanted to shout out that we do at the Fifth Trooper, there is now some painting series that we're going to be starting. I am not doing it. We hired a wonderful human being from the UK to do it. So if you want to see cool stuff painted and learn how to do cool paints, we've got a video for that and
coming
more
soon.
To come. That will be a thing, which I think is very cool. And also Notorious Scoundrels is doing their stuff, which is always fun. Go listen to them to learn how to be good at this game. Also, Evan will be doing a Tours Let's Play that he's doing with the World Champ. So that will also be there eventually. He's currently working on that still, so that's not out yet. But there's just a lot of content coming. from us, and a lot of fun things that will be there. I know that in November we are going to have we're going to talk to Legion Terrain, and so we will be talking to them about how to build cool tables and how to set up tables and all of this stuff about terrain and how to make your games more impactful. So we will be having that coming up as well. So if you want to learn more about painting, if you want to know more about tables and how to be good at the game, keep it here. Every 2 weeks there will be a video from us, or if there's, you know, random news like there was and last 2 weeks ago or whenever the tours happened, and then we had several videos out about it. Sorry for clogging up your feed that week. We were very busy. But, you know, so normally exciting. Normally it's every 2 weeks. As I joked on those casts, this is a bi-weekly podcast, but I meant bi-weekly as in every other week, not twice a week.
That'd be a lot.
I don't want to hear myself talk that much. I'm sure you don't either, but I do appreciate it. So yes, you know, keep it here, keep it locked. We will be doing more of that stuff. Hit the follow, bell, like, subscribe,
comment.
Please comment and say hi.
Share.
Yeah.
Scream from the rooftops.
All of that stuff helps because YouTube is still being mean itself, making this hard for all of us. So we do appreciate when you do share and you do engage. It helps us a lot, and it allows us to keep making the stuff that you like watching, and we appreciate you liking watching this. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I've been Owen.
I'm Isaac.
And we do it all for
the love of the game.